Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Kevin Sample.
It's good to see all of you here today. I want to welcome all of you joining us online as well. I got to do a special shout out to my dad, who's tuning in from Gridley, California. Come on, Dad. If you're new to Bethel, my name's Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's an honor to bring today's message in our summer sermon series, Heroes, okay? So if you would turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, while you're turning there, I am going to read two verses from 2 Timothy 4, but just hang there at Hebrews 12, and I'll be there in just a second. But the Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I have finished the race, the Apostle Paul said. Hebrews chapter 12, this is where we're going to find the meat of our message, our sermon today, in verses 1 to 3. So follow with me, I'm reading out of the New International Version. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The theme or topic of today's message in our Heroes sermon series is finish strong. Finish strong. So let me just give you a roadmap of what we're going to do here together in this message, and then we're going to pray. So we're going to highlight two heroes, which has been our custom in this series. We have a Bible hero and a more modern hero. Our Bible hero today is going to be Caleb from the Old Testament, one of the 12 spies that went into the Promised Land when the people of Israel first came to take possession. And we'll learn about him more in a moment. And our more modern day hero is Mother Teresa. That name may be familiar to many of you. Some of you who are younger, maybe not so much. She was a powerful woman that impacted the world in the 20th century. And we're going to look a little closer into her story and see the life of a hero right among us. And then we're going to finish by digging into chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and look at what's it going to take for us to finish well. Do you know that it's your destiny in Christ to finish strong? I'll say that again. Do you understand that in Christ it's your destiny to finish strong? It's not just to get into heaven. Oh, I'm going to limp in. I'll just sort of, yeah. No, no, no. God's design is for you and I to finish strong. Finish strong. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. You're not watching a YouTube sermon here. I'm here with you. I can see your expression. I can. So let's go. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day and for the opportunity to come together and open the Word of God. Lord, I don't take it lightly this moment. I don't we don't take it lightly, the opportunity to be together like this, because we know that when we gather and worship like this, your presence comes. You are here among us. You are already speaking to us. And now, in these moments in your word, I pray, O Lord, that you would open our eyes and ears and hearts and give us ears to hear. I pray that each person in the hearing of this message would hear exactly what you want to say. For Lord, this isn't me talking. This is the voice of your Spirit that's going to come through your word today. We want to be changed. I want to be changed. Lord, do your good work in this moment. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have you heard the phrase? It's not how you start, it's how you
finish.
That is so true in many ways. In fact, Super Bowl 51, the NFL, I think the Atlanta Falcons will forever be haunted by that phrase. If you're not a football fan or don't remember, Super Bowl 51, just a few years ago, I think it was 2017, the Atlanta Falcons played the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. And boy, did the Falcons come out strong. And in fact, it was the mid-third quarter, and the Falcons are up 28-3. Only to lose the game in overtime, 34-28. Oof. Now for New England Patriot fans, they would say, what an epic comeback, those Patriots, Tom Brady. But for most of the rest of us, we say, you know what, that was an epic collapse by the Atlanta Falcons, right? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I have one other example today, and it's from the class of 1981. I know there's only a few of us probably in here that were in that era. The class of 1981 at Manteca High School in Northern California, a school of about 1,300 total students. It was actually in the fall of 77 that the class of 81 walked onto the campus of Manteca High. I was one of them.
All right.
And I'll just say this, I said it in first service. You know those guys that are high school athletes that forever after that are always living in the glory days and telling the stories of high school? Okay, I really try hard not to be that guy, but today in this sermon, just give me grace. Give me grace. So, the class of 81 walked onto campus in 1977, and the freshman boys basketball team was nothing special, to be honest. I was one of them, and there were seven of us specifically. Out of all the guys who went out for basketball, there were seven of us that stuck together. But we were all from different elementary, junior high schools in the community. I think there was probably three or four junior highs that all fed into Manteca High School. And that freshman year team that I was a part of, we were nothing special. In fact, we were pretty average. I think we finished third or fourth in our actual league that we were in. There's like six or seven teams in our league. We finished middle of the pack, nothing special. You know, there wasn't any, oh man, the class of 81 is gonna be something. No, it was like, well, you know, we'll see what happens. So we stuck together, and mind you, this was back in the day when there was no such thing as club sports back at that time. So whatever you did in the off season, it was whatever maybe the coach tried to put together or whatever. So we played summer league and things like that. We just kept working at it. Sophomore year, sophomore team, right? Okay. More mediocrity. More average. I think we finished third in our league that year. And our crosstown rival, there was one other high school in the town, they beat us again. So we lost the freshman year to our crosstown rivals. We lost our sophomore year. It's like, well, let's keep working at it. Let me get to the end of the story. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So we get to our varsity time, our junior year, and we combine with a senior class. that when we were juniors, and that started the beginning of a dynasty. So all this to say that the class of 81, who started off nothing special, nothing to write home about, sort of middle of the road, by the time we finished our senior season, the class of 81, during our 2 years as varsity players, we did not lose a league game. We were 12-0 in 2 years of league play. We beat our crosstown rivals a total of 3 times because we beat them in the playoffs once. And we ended up finishing our senior year ranked 3rd in the state of California of Class 2A, and our final season record was 26-4.
All right.
There's my glory days moment. All right. Now what? What's the point? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And there were 7 of us. I actually went, I didn't want to torture you by showing a picture of my team, okay? But I went back and actually looked at the picture, and there were actually 7 of us that started together on that freshman team, 7 seniors that were in on that team to finish out our career. And there's a bond between us 7 because we know the road that we went through. And it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So today I want us to look at a couple of heroes that it's not so much about where they were at the beginning as much as how they finished. In fact, both of these heroes, probably their most influential, impactful time was in their 80s. The first one I want to highlight is Mother Teresa. I don't know how many of you know much about Mother Teresa because she passed away in 1997. She was actually born in 1910, and she was born in Albania. Just a young couple in Albania, nothing special, not any kind of, you know, royalty or special class of people. She was just a young lady who was born into a Catholic family. And she began to become aware of God through her experience in the Catholic Church, took her first communion at age 5. And by the age 12, she began to sense that there was something that God was doing in her about giving her life to his service. So when what then was called Sister Teresa, she actually went from Albania and moved to Dublin, Ireland when she was 18 years old and joined an institute of nuns, and it was called the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary or Loreto Sisters in Dublin, Ireland. And through that experience in Dublin, she then went to Calcutta, India, and that's what would change the course of her life. When she went to Calcutta, she began to see the depravity and just all of the poverty and the health conditions of the people. And this is in the 20s. This is like 1928, 30, that she first went to Calcutta. And that is where she would spend the bulk of her life and ministry in Calcutta, India. And from there, her influence spread around the world. And she, what happened is that she started in 1950 a Society of the Missionaries of Charity. And this Missionaries of Charity organization that she started with just 12 members, it grew. And she began to establish homes that would care for the poor and the sick and to share the love of Jesus with people all over the world. And in fact, her influence grew so much that actually it was in 1979 that she received the Nobel Peace Prize for her work with respect to respect for every human life. And particularly, she spoke out against abortion and the sanctity of life. And she was recognized with a Nobel Peace Prize. And at the end of her life, she became an iconic figure in our world when it came to caring for the disenfranchised, for caring for those who others discarded, and dignifying and loving people and sharing the love of Jesus. that in her last years of life, so she died in 97. The years between 1990 to 97, her last 7 years, were probably her most impactful. In fact, what's been recorded, and I found this because there's actually a website dedicated to her, is motherteresa.org, I think. And it says that from 1990 to 1997, she had the most intense activity. Even as her health deteriorated, understand that she had a heart attack in 91, she had heart surgery in 93, and another heart surgery in 96, the year before she passed. In that 7-year period, it's recorded that she led the opening of more than 170 houses around the world to care for the poor and the hurting. In Uganda, Pakistan, Slovakia, Papua New Guinea, Cambodia, Albania, Iraq, Germany, Hungary, Honduras, Yemen, the U.S., Philippines, Haiti, and Uzbekistan. All in the final 7 years of her life, when she was the most ill. In fact, 3 months before she passed was her final trip, or international travel, and she went to Rome, New York, and Washington, D.C., meeting with leaders and presidents about the plight of the poor and caring for those who are in need. And let me finish this highlight on Mother Teresa. And the reason we're highlighting her, because she's like one of us. She's not from some special origin and had special path of life that gave her this prominence. I want you to hear that Mother Teresa represents a woman who simply said yes to Jesus all along the way. Here is some of her own words, and I'll finish with this about her. By blood, I'm an Albanian. By citizenship, an Indian. By faith, I'm a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus. Small of stature, rock-like in faith, Mother Teresa of Calcutta was entrusted with the mission of proclaiming God's thirsting love for humanity, especially for the poorest of the poor. Another of her quotes, God still loves the world, and he sends you and me to be his love and his compassion to the poor. She was a soul filled with the light of Christ, on fire with love for him, and burning with one desire, and I quote from her, one desire to quench his thirst for love and for souls. This, a woman who was born in very normal, everyday circumstances in Albania, and simply responded to what Jesus was doing in her heart and said yes, and her influence continued to expand. And so she died in 1997, 87 years of age, leaving a mark on the world for Jesus even to this day. Finish strong. It's not about how you start or where you start or your circumstances of your start. It's how you finish. Let's get to the word. Caleb. Caleb, I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. That's where we're going to actually read from about Caleb. But before we read from Joshua, I'm going to give you a little backstory all the way to Numbers chapter 13, which is where we're first introduced to Caleb. When Moses sends the spies into the land, right? Into the promised land that God had promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But get to Joshua 14 and hold there, because that's where we're going to read together. But I want you to notice in Numbers chapter 13, we have the 12 spies going into the land. They come back with a report of just, it was flowing with milk and honey. Its fruit is amazing. The cities are powerful and fortified. But what happened was the 10 of the 12 spies said, this is overwhelming. We can't do this. These people are beyond us. But verse 30, we start seeing Caleb. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Wow. Now that's the way to make a splash onto the scene. We can certainly do it. And then in chapter 14, I want you to look with me about Caleb responding after he was told to shut up. They're saying, no, we can't do this. There's giants in the land. We seem like grasshoppers to them. There's no way. We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt, is what all these people were saying. But Caleb and Joshua, they rose up in verse 6 of chapter 14 of Numbers, and they began to tear their clothes, and they cried out and said, this, verse 7, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. We, the grasshoppers, we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And because of Caleb and Joshua's vision and faith and belief in the God who brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and all the miracles in the desert, because of their faith and vision to see what God had promised, they were the only two that whole generation that lived to actually go into the promised land 40 years later. So let's jump to Joshua 14. We come to the part of the story where the Israelites actually go into the promised land. But guess what? The promised land was not like a pristine land, clear of any obstacles or challenges. They had to go actually possess it and conquer it. But look in chapter 14. Look at this strong finisher, Caleb, as he steps back into the scene in verse 6. We'll read this together. Joshua 14, 6 to 12. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And underline this phrase, in the NIV, this is powerful. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. I love that. Yeah. In other translations, it'll say, I brought a report according to what was in my heart. Anybody have any convictions in them today? Yeah. That's what the Spirit of God does in us. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, verse 10, just as the Lord promised, look at this. He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Anybody 85 in the room or want to admit it? We're all on the path. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Come on. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. In essence, what he's saying, you yourself have heard that all of the forefathers of Goliath, because that's what the Anakites were, large humans that would intimidate anybody our size. And yet, an 85-year-old Caleb says, give me this hill country, and I will go take it from these giants in Jesus' name. Amen? That is someone who is finishing strong. Caleb's life inspires me. I don't know about you, but it's not how you start. It's how you finish. So let's finish. Let's finish this sermon today by turning to Hebrews chapter 12, because what I would like to do is give attention to what is it going to take for us to finish strong. As I said before, it is your destiny to finish strong in Christ. It's your destiny. And what I know to be true, because I'm human and I know how my brain works, is sometimes when somebody speaks a word of faith over you like that, you've already discounted it in your own mind because you've explained why that doesn't apply to you. But I am saying to you today that if Jesus' death on the cross saves us, his death on the cross and his resurrection pays for the fact that you and I are designed to finish strong. Jesus is the ultimate finisher. And we're part of his family. I'm getting ahead of myself already. So back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, I'm going to highlight three keys or three important factors that will determine if we're going to finish strong. Number one, found in verse 1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We need to eliminate, get rid of, we need to cut off things that would hinder us. You think of an athlete. You think of a track athlete who will make sure that they've eliminated anything on their body that would bring wind resistance, or they take off the sweatsuit, whatever. What are they doing? They are eliminating anything that would hinder them from finishing strong. What could be hindering us? Well, for sure, sin. And it says it right there in verse 1. The sin that so easily entangles us. Let me state the obvious. Sin will always hinder us. It will always shipwreck us. But you know, the good news is the cross and what Jesus did for us means that there is, as long as there's breath in our lungs, there's hope and there is forgiveness. And we're talking about finishing strong, but guess what? You can't finish strong unless you're willing to start again. Unless you're willing to start with Jesus, you can't finish strong. So we need to start here. We need to start here, and we need to eliminate those hindrances. The other thing I want to mention about throwing off and getting rid of things that hinder, and this is what really came to me as I was preparing for this message in this topic of throwing off things that hinder. I think one of the biggest things that hinders us today is our own mind, our own memories, the shame, the condemnation, the feeling like we've already screwed up our life so much that there's no finishing strong. It's just, I just want to finish. I'm just hoping to crawl into heaven by the mercy of God because I've already done so much damage in my life already. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie. In Christ, the past is gone. In Christ, your previous decisions, your previous experiences, those are under the blood of Jesus when you surrender your life to him. You and I have a chance to pick up where we are in Christ and finish strong. So why are you hanging on to your past? Why are you hanging on to those memories of mistakes you've made? Those things that make you feel like I've been disqualified. The blood of Jesus says nobody is disqualified. While you have breath in your lungs, you have a chance to say yes to Jesus. Let me mess you up a little bit with this thought. Maybe you never thought about this. The thief on the cross, remember the thief that said, "Jesus, remember me"? He finished strong. All it takes is a moment of saying yes to Jesus. His whole life could have, who knows what that thief's life all is summed up to. We know he's on a cross being convicted of some crimes. All of that was washed away in one act of faith in Jesus. Amen? So you and I still have hope. Take a breath. Breathe in, breathe out. You're a candidate. You're a candidate. Number two, run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You and I have a race marked out for us. You have a race. I have a race. And together, collectively, we do. Run with perseverance. Finishers don't quit. Finishers face and overcome trials, challenges, difficulties, hardships. That's what strong finishers do. I want you to notice in chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 7, it says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children." You know, sometimes when we think of the word discipline, we think of punishment. When you think of discipline, you think of like a swat or a spanking or some kind of something like that. Immediate discipline. Discipline has to do with a parent allowing their child to, sometimes putting them in a situation, but sometimes allowing a situation that would cause a child to go through discomfort and struggle, because having to go through that will grow them. If we rescue our children every moment they ever have some kind of struggle or pain, if we rescue them in those moments, we're not loving them well. Because we all need to grow through struggle. We all need to grow through challenge. And what he says here in verse 7 is, trials and struggles come, see them as discipline. See them as something designed for our good. See them as something to grow us. Amen? Persevere. The same in verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Do you have a perspective of struggle and trials in your life that this is training for growth, training for greater effectiveness, training? Woo! We could stay there for a while. Run with perseverance. And number three, and this is where I want to camp out for a couple of minutes, because number three is, it's all wrapped up here. The first two are all contingent on number three. Number three is in verse two. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The key to finishing strong is your vision. What do you see? Fix your eyes in the right place. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It says in verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know what that phrase, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, in the King James Version, it says the author and finisher, completer. Get it completely done. Finish. That's Jesus. He is the ultimate finisher. He said it on the cross. It is finished. That's your bloodline in Christ. That's my bloodline in Christ. We're from a long line of strong finishers. But what life, circumstances, and the enemy constantly wants to say to you over and over is that you don't fit that. You don't fit in the family. You're not a finisher. You're a quitter. Look at you. You don't measure up. You're not like Pastor so-and-so. You're not like, oh, brother or sister. You seem to always just find a way to screw it up. The enemy is constantly wanting to tear down the truth of who you are. It's an identity thing, but the key to finishing strong here is, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? You see your vision and your ability to fix your eyes on Jesus in the midst of struggle and trial and challenges in life. That is the why. That is what motivates you to throw off things that are hindering. That's what's going to motivate you and me to persevere. We persevere because we look what Jesus says about Jesus in verse 3. Actually, verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned the shame, and sat down at the right. He saw ahead. Jesus saw what this was all leading to. He endured the cross, the humiliation, being ridiculed by his own creation, the ones he came to love. He endured that because he saw. There was a joy of what was ahead. It was his vision. And he is the one, by looking to him, we see beyond what we're in. You are destined to finish strong. Husband, wife, you are destined to finish a strong marriage. I don't care what your marriage looks like at the moment, or maybe what you've been through in the past. Your destiny is to finish strong and leave a legacy for your family. I guess what I'm wanting to really drive home at the heart of this message as we come to the close about being a strong finisher is how often we allow life and circumstances to disqualify us. Your destiny is not just to come and sit in church every week. Your destiny is to finish strong, to come and sit in church and worship, but to minister to people around you. Get involved. Play a part. If Caleb was in this church, what do you think he would be doing at 85? If Mother Teresa was part of Bethel Chandler, what do you think she would be doing? They would be taking responsibility and saying, I've got breath in my lungs. I don't know how much longer I have, but as long as I'm breathing, I'm in his kingdom. I'm going to be used by him. And this message is not just for those of us who are getting a little older. I know that oftentimes young people, because I was one, oftentimes mistakes we make when we're young, it derails us for decades. And whether you're young or old today, wherever you fit in the decades represented in this room, every one of us is challenged to look at the circumstances we're in and hear the voice of Jesus saying, let's go. Let's finish strong. Let's finish strong. So, here's how I want to wrap this up. It's really about calling us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to hear what he's saying to us. Is the Spirit of God speaking to you today about things that you need to throw off, that you need to eliminate in your life? Because it could be blatant sin that you need to repent of and say, Jesus, I lay it down. You know, there could be relationships in your life that are hindering you. There could be people in your life. I don't know what the circumstances. The Holy Spirit is the one who works in our hearts. Maybe you are feeling, you know, you're discouraged today. Maybe you're feeling hopeless. You feel like, I've screwed up. I feel like your circumstances, how can I get out of this? How can this improve? You feel beat down, possibly. Guilt, shame, condemnation. That's not the voice of your Savior. I want you to envision this today. Envision this. Envision Jesus with his hand out to you saying, let's go. Take my hand. I love you. Let's finish strong together. Let's finish strong together. He's reaching out his hand to you today. Get off the sideline and get into the game. Let's finish strong together. Let's do this for his kingdom, for his glory. Would you bow your heads? Today, here's my question. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if this applies to you, because I want to pray a closing prayer. By raising your hand, you're saying, I know, I need to say, Jesus is talking to me. The Spirit of God is speaking to my heart. I need to say yes to Jesus. I know there's things that have been hindering me. I know I've been staying on the sidelines. I haven't fixed my eyes on Jesus. I know today the Lord is saying, come on. And you're saying, I want to take Jesus' hand today. Raise your hand. If you're saying, I want to take his hand, and I'm no longer going to allow my circumstances and things in my life to keep me on the sidelines, I'm going to finish strong. Amen. So many of you, yes. In a moment, after we pray and we have our connect time, we're going to have a ministry team here at the front. I want to challenge you to come forward and agree in prayer with one of our prayer team and seal this moment. If you are dedicating your life to Jesus, surrendering your life to Jesus for the first time, come up and pray with somebody. Let them lead you. Let them pray with you. If you just need the unity of faith with somebody in prayer for something God's speaking to you, come up and let's pray together. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all of these today that raise their hands saying, Lord, I want to take your hand. I want to say yes, Jesus. Lord, I pray today that you would break chains of bondage. Lord, I pray that you would break off things that are hindering us. Lord, we surrender to you today. Lord, we turn over our life to you. We fix our eyes on you. And I pray, God, that at these altars in a few minutes, at this front area, as people are agreeing in prayer, Lord, I pray for breakthrough. Lord, I pray for fresh starts. Lord, we're going to start again. We're going to get up. We're going to get in the game. Lord, we're going to finish strong. Lord, we're going to be remembered, Lord, as those who gave our all to you and your kingdom, Lord, because that's what you did for us. And we thank you, O Lord, by your grace and by your mercy and by your presence, we will finish strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.